listener. It's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
John and Joe, another episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the horror show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the horror show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the horror show. The show dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other cult favorites. I changed it. See if it sticks. I'll probably forget it next week. I just had been thinking about it. Oh, I'm Sean.
I'm Joe. Stay weird. Joe.
What's
going on?
Nothing. Yeah, I'd been thinking about it that whole Patreon episode where I was like, fuck this, man. I love Action Movie Month. We're building it into the fucking... the horror show franchise. As we mentioned, we are the Evil Dead 2 of podcasts, so fuck it. Let's just fucking do whatever the fuck we want. Who gives a fuck?
I said it on the Patreon episode. I know that we're going to have people that are like, why are you talking about this? Listen, these movies, most of our listeners love these kind of movies, but if you're not, if you're like strictly horror, these movies are so horror adjacent. They have more death, more violence, more witty one-liners than 90% of the movies that we cover on here. Like, you can't tell me listening to us talk about alien abduction and listening to us talk about this
are different.
This is a higher level of enjoyment across the board.
Yeah, I agree completely. And yeah, the blood and guts in these movies that we're going to cover are fucking wild and just absurd. And it really is. What is the difference? And I mentioned it on our Patreon episode we just recorded, but like, you're going to tell me fucking A24. Like, come on. I'll take this over an A24 movie all fucking day. Like, fucking, the guy gets shot and blood sprays everywhere. Like it was a fucking cannon that went through him. It was fucking crazy.
Hey Sean, that scene is... I was assuming he was going to show a shotgun, and then he's just holding like a 22. Like, whoa, well then.
Fucking blew off his shoulder. Fucking unreal. This week we are covering Action Jackson from 1988, starring the incomparable, is that the word? Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Whose acting chops...
Creed himself.
His acting chops in this, all I could think about was his character in Arrested Development, which is himself, playing like an absurd version of himself. That's like the way he's acting in this. And I'm questioning whether that is actually just Carl or not. Because this is crazy. Like, the way he acts in this is so... There's a couple of scenes where he almost even talks to the camera. Like... He's just talking out loud, like, just complain. It's so fucking funny. I actually...
That's all true.
When you pitched this idea, this Action Jackson, I thought this was a I didn't know anything about it. I thought it was a blaxploitation from the 70s, just assumed by, like, the title. I mean, it definitely was inspired by blaxploitation. But...
Sure.
not in that vein. This is a action. This is an 80s action movie from top to bottom.
Yeah, I believe it's the studio that did Lethal Weapon and Predator, and Die Hard was like shooting on the lot too. So it was in between Lethal Weapon and Predator, and they just were like reusing casts, and they just were like, let's just keep this train rolling.
Just keep this coke train rolling, baby. Like, dude, you imagine what it would have been like back then, man? Fuck.
Finest Peruvian.
Dude, if you could redo it, dude. Send me to the 80s on a fucking Warner Brothers lot or wherever the fuck this was. Put me on a movie lot with all the cocaine, and I think I'm going to have a good time. But for the record, if my parents are listening, I've never done cocaine. That's the truth. But boy, would I like to. all right. I have a question for you. It's a serious question.
Yeah.
What is the plot of this movie, Joe? Do you know
what the plot is? Hitting me with the old switcheroo. Okay, so we have a cop named Action Jackson, who is the most feared cop of all time, despite, you know, not really being that menacing.
Not at all.
But he's lost his stripes because he acted rough, and the person he acted rough with was the son of Craig T. Nelson's character, who is a prominent businessman who fucking hates unions and wants ultimate more than power. Anything. Like, he sells cars, but that's kind of just like a shell. He says himself he wants like ultimate power, and he cites Jimmy Carter, of all people. Dude, the inspiration.
Quote of all time.
That old peanut farmer in the 70s. But yeah, he wants power, and Action Jackson, one of his friends gets killed by him, so he's trying to solve that and ultimately bring him down. So that's ultimately the plot.
Okay.
But there's a lot more that happens.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more.
Point A and point B.
Yeah, there's some side stories that don't quite fit in or get resolved. Doesn't really matter, but I actually had to look up the story because I watched the whole thing. I paid attention. You get the gist because it's a fucking action movie. But, like, I read the plot and was like, oh, that's fucking news to me. That's fucking bizarre. Like, did not pick up on it.
Which part?
Mostly, like, the shit with the son and Craig T. Nelson. Like, I thought Craig T. Nelson, like, pulled some strings to get him fired. But, like, no, it was just, like, they're just the police doing their due diligence. I don't know. I don't even know if that's true.
No. Action just beat the shit out of him, like almost ripped his arm off.
Carl Weathers Joel Silver kind of takes credit for this, but Carl Weathers was totally on board, and they really, really thought that they were going to make this a whole fucking franchise centered around Action Jackson. And it had the bones of, like, you could kind of see that they were like, we want action. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to say it was like, it wasn't family friendly, but it towed that line. Because in the 80s, I mean, they sold toys of the Terminator, which is fucking psychotic, really, when you think about it. Yeah, RoboCop. It was fucking nuts that children were playing with those fucking things. But you could see, like, the bones of Action Jackson, where they were like, turn this into a kid's cartoon and sell fucking toys to this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they made him a Harvard lawyer.
Yes.
For no reason.
This is essentially, you know, Beverly Hills Cop, just with more explosions, you know. Because he's a cop that keeps getting in trouble. Somebody that he knows is killed. He tries to hunt him down.
Yeah.
He tries to hunt down who's responsible for this. And then at the end, the cops who are, you know, kicking the shit out of him then reluctantly join him in his journey. And then with no paperwork or, like, procedures followed, just like, here's your stripes and your promotion. Everything's all good now.
Yeah, Weathers said that the reason it didn't get to be a franchise, which is questionable, but it's because Lorimar sold the lot to Sony, and then they sold the library to Warner Brothers, and that was that. It never resurfaced again.
Well, we were fucking robbed. Dude, can you imagine the three-part of Action Jackson?
Where does it go from here, though? Dude, my favorite part about Action Jackson is the unnecessary steps all every character takes in every situation of the entire fucking movie. Dude, there's a scene... I gotta save it. But fuck, man. It's just fucking crazy. They do so much work, and then at the end, they just, like, blow everything up, and you're like, well, you could have just started there.
Correct.
Every scenario also, starts that way.
Most flammable town, perhaps, of all time. There are things that light on fire and explode that have no business. I'm so glad, remotely coming close to that.
I'm so glad you mentioned it, because I didn't write that down, but I constantly kept being like, why is that on fire? Like, that, like, it would just be somebody shooting, and then you would just see a giant flame shoot out of, like, a computer screen. And you'd be like, what the fuck?
Remember those cars in the 70s, the Ford Pintos, where, like, you got a fender bender where they just exploded? That's like what every person drove in this town. Just constantly catching on fire.
Oh, man, that's so fucking funny, man. It is something else, this movie.
Well, let's mention real quick that our guy, Craig R. Baxley, directed this movie. And he directed the greatest action movie of all time. 1991's Stone Cold.
Correct. He is he's a stunt coordinator turned director. Honestly, a real underdog story, if you ask me. And
he might be my favorite director of all time. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm embellishing a little, but also I'm kind of not. I kind of think he might be.
I mean, there's something to be said about these fucking movies. I mean, you can't sit there, watch these fucking movies and be like, that fucking suck. Like, I just can't imagine anyone doing that. Like, even the most miserable fuck would have to watch this and be like, you fucking serious? Like, that was fucking insane. Like, you're gonna walk away talking about that fucking movie. Like, either of these movies. And we discussed it on the Patreon bonus. We kind of went through and we talked about some of the options for Action Movie Month. And one of those is another movie. And I think we're going to do it next week. We might as well, right? Yep. Why wait? I Came in Peace, another film by this director starring Dolph Lundgren. Wait, is Dolph the one in Stone Cold 2 or no?
No, it's well, Boz is Stone Cold.
Oh, it's the Boz. It's the Boz. That's who I'm thinking of. Sorry. I knew it was a fucking blonde guy. Stone Cold. Yeah.
College football star, the Boz, in action.
A director took a college football idiot and turned him into an action star.
Yeah. I mean, Boz, so he didn't, but he tried to.
Say less. I mean, dude, he should have been after this. He was fucking
great. The greatest movie of all time. Everyone's a fucking idiot.
And this was actually Craig's debut as a director. I don't know if you said that. But this is the first one. This is his first shot. He does Action Jackson.
Yeah. So this, then he does I Come in Peace with Dolph, and then he does Stone Cold, which, what a fucking trilogy. What a run, dude.
Like, it's deserving of one of those, like, faux trilogy titles, like, where they're not connected, like, but they are in theme.
Yeah.
Theme trilogies, you know what I mean?
Baxleyverse.
The Baxleyverse. and we actually started this episode off hot, which we usually never do. But just want to shout out everyone that came to the Patreon, the live show this past weekend. It was so much fun. Really enjoyed the Army of Darkness. And we will announce the live show date for this month soon on Instagram. I'll have Reagan do that. But it will be Shoot 'Em Up, starring our boy Paul Giamatti. And that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be exciting, guys. If you read about it, it is considered one of the most absurd movies of all time.
I've been singing his praises for years, man.
All right, with that said, okay, Action Jackson, $7 million budget. Banking $65 million.
Wow. All right. So it's not a bomb.
Not a bomb. Not a bomb. I think critically...
7 million, dude. He did a lot with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the 80s, though... Oh, yeah, 88. Yeah, it's true. And he got Herbie Hancock to do the music, which is fucking...
Do the music.
Yeah. That probably cost $1 million right there.
Dude, getting Herbie to do it when you have Vanity in the movie and give her two fucking song pieces in the movie, that's crazy.
And they hired fucking Paula Abdul to do the choreography in the movie.
Yeah.
Which I read beforehand and then was like, where's the choreography? What did she choreograph in this film? Like, Vanity is just performing. I don't know. I was very confused about that. Now,
but I just want to say, like, Baxley, because this goes along with everything that we're saying with the score, and we said it in the Patreon, he just understands the assignment. He knows if you're going to watch a movie called Action Jackson, what you want to see, and he just gives it to you. And he does that with Stone Cold. He's just like the people's director. I can't say enough about this guy and how much I fucking love him.
Oh, it's so great. I honestly, again, I had so much fun watching it. I don't think we mentioned this yet, but sorry, I'm writing something down. Craig T. Nelson is in this movie.
Craig is in this movie as a villain.
Craig T. Nelson
is the villain.
You and I have discussed this, and I don't know how many times on the show, but a lot off the show, because...
I think mostly off the show. I don't even know if you've ever said it on the show.
The 80s action movies were riddled with, like, dad actors as the villains, and it works so well.
It's so much more believable and terrifying that, like, just these, like, middle-aged dads are just – they just want to – make money, and they're going to hire people to kill you. It's just like the best kind of supervillain.
And if there's anyone that you would believe would do that, if you were born in the 80s, it was probably your dad. So I just wanted to beat the shit out of you. Practicing karate to just fucking take you out one day. That was, and Craig T. Nelson does it to a T. We talked about it. RoboCop.
He looks great in this movie. Yeah, RoboCop with Red Foreman as the villain. And also Connell Cochran is the other villain. And he's like even older. Yeah. Crazy guy who's selling equipment.
And what was the other dad? There was one other one. Because I think we had just both watched it. And we were like, this guy's a dad playing like a mastermind villain. I can't remember what it was. We'll figure it out. But yeah, no, it's funny as fuck. It's the best. It's such a good move. It's such a good move. And Craig T. Nelson is in this, but I was like trying to figure out, like, how did Craig get here? Because when does Coach start? This is 88. Oh, Coach starts the year after this.
Okay.
Do you think, man, was he like, when did he hit his, like, peak, do you think? Like, Craig T. Nelson peak. Was it Poltergeist? I don't think it was.
I think it's Coach.
I think it's Coach, too. So, maybe this movie had something to do with, you know.
Dude, I want to claim that. It doesn't. But I want to claim that very badly.
He did so much work, dude, in between. Yeah. It's... Dude,
1 year between this and Coach is actually insane. Because in Coach, he looks like everybody's high school basketball coach.
Dude, he loses like all of his hair in a year. Like, man, dude, imagine the bleach that he puts in this. Because, by the way, his hair is bleach.
Dude, it's so bleach. That's why it thins. He goes for fucking sure. 80s bleach. Yeah, especially on the set of this movie. Fuck yeah. That is what happened.
He just finally loses the last bit of hair he had. Fucking... And then it leads to Coach, and then that's it, guys. Wait a minute. By the way, fuck. Craig T. Nelson. So we were just discussing, because we're potentially doing this like porn show for Patreon. Don't worry about it, guys. You gotta join Patreon to find out. If you have to ask, you can't afford it. One of the movies.
Eat Alfredo.
You have to eat Alfredo too. Hey, guess what porno Craig T. Nelson is in?
Craig T. Nelson's in a porno.
Flesh Gordon, baby. He's an uncredited voice.
That was on our list. Now I am doubling down. Flesh Gordon.
He's also in the Return of Count Yorga and Scream Blackula Scream. Those were his first two movies. So that's funny.
Legend.
Honestly, he really is. Really fucking is. This guy's a fucking... I love him. I love him so much.
You could beep this part out. Any update on potentially getting that person on our show?
No update. I was copied on an email chain where they were like, this is what they want to do. We have this guest that wants to come on to promote a movie. Maybe we'll talk about it on like a Patreon bonus episode or something, but I don't want to talk about it on this. But yeah, we had a guest that wanted to come on, but I know they want to promote this new movie, but we have some other we need to talk about some other shit with her. So I kind of laid out to them. I literally just got an email though, like yesterday, I think, where they were like, "Hey, looping everyone in here to see if we can get this done." So I haven't heard anything back though. But we made our demands, and that's we will see what happens. I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited.
I want it to happen badly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that front. But we'll tell the behind the scenes story. If it doesn't happen, we'll talk about it on Patreon. Kind of about what that was. So Craig T. Nelson is in this playing our main villain named Peter Delaplane. Delaplane. You got Vanity playing Sydney Ash. Who is Vanity? Can we? Do you have any intel?
Oh, she was like a Prince protege. She had a couple hits in the 80s, and then she gave it all up.
That's who it was.
Yeah, she gave it all up. She became like a evangelist, denounced her previous lifestyle. She died in like 2016, I think.
Oh fuck, she did due to kidney failure. That's sad.
She had a heavy coke problem in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She went from Prince to Nikki Sixx. Not great.
That's right.
Not great for the heart or the liver. The very bad move. You got Sharon Stone in this fucking movie.
We do. I was surprised by her role. I thought it would be a little bit bigger. I guess this was because Basic Instinct was 92, so it's before.
Is that true?
Like everyone was talking about her.
That's what I was kind of trying to figure out. She was also in Police Academy 4. Why have we not done a Police Academy movie?
Haven't we done all of them? Let's do all of them.
Dude, like, what am I doing? Yeah, I have to add that to my list of things to watch. So she was in Above the Law in 88, Action Jackson in 88, and then Total Recall, and Basic Instincts was 92. That's cool.
Yeah, I also, I don't know how to word this, because I obviously don't like it, but it... The decision amused me that they wait until, spoilers, she's dead to show her boobs in this movie.
No, you see her boobs before then.
Oh, you do see it before that?
Yeah. She takes a shower.
Oh, the shower. Oh, yeah, that's right. All right.
Yeah, that was one thing that stuck out to me was we haven't seen breasts in quite some time. And it was a welcome change.
Of gives it to you. That's what I'm saying. This guy just is like, you know what? These guys like... You know, blowing shit up in boobs.
Now so
let's do it.
We've talked about we're going to do Sidaris. We're doing Sidaris movies in July. Like the king of the triple B. I forget what it stands for. It's like bombs, bullets, and boobs or something. It's fucking insane. What a fucking three Bs. fucking psychotic. These two head to head, man. I don't know. I think we have to have like a tournament, like a King of the Ring style fucking tournament.
Baxley movies are more coherent. There's no argument. Like I get Hard Ticket to Hawaii is great and fun to watch, and I agree with that. But you can't say, like, no disrespect to Sidaris. I love the guy.
Disrespect.
The guy can't make a fucking movie. The guy just there's no plot. This guy at least tries, you know?
He is on the verge of pornography. That's the difference, right? Like, this guy is making... Baxley's making movies you would buy a ticket to. Like you don't... You wouldn't
Sidaris
buy
Sidaris is just... Yeah. Sidaris is just horned up and coked up. It's just like, I want tits and... you know, guns.
It's like the
he has a movie called Gun.
It's like the Dino De Laurentiis thing we talked about with like Army of or Evil Dead 2, where he was just like, "What about this porn actress?" And they're like, "Can we just get hire the good one?
Like, the good ones that we room with."
He's like, "I don't know about that." Like, it's so funny, man. These fucking guys couldn't even get out of their own way. All right, so we got
One more cast member to mention. Bill Duke,
that's who I was
who makes
mention.
Every movie. The step away to us. Dude, he makes every movie he's in so much better. And he just has that face that, like, he's just always angry. And every time you see it, it's perfect, and it makes me laugh. Like, fuck, dude, Sean. All right, I'm sorry. There is a scene in this movie. Can I spoil it right now?
Yeah, of course.
It's the most insignificant scene. Action Jackson goes back to the police station after doing stuff. I won't spoil that part. But he goes back to the station, and he's all, like, dirty, and Bill Duke sees him, and he just, like, looks – again, his face is so perfect for these roles. He just looks so, like, disgusted. He's like, "What the hell did you do?" And Action Jackson's like, "Nothing, man. There's a dry cleaning incident." And Duke's just staring at him, and Action's talking to, like, the other cop that's at the desk. And Bill Duke's phone starts to ring. So he goes in there, and Jackson gets the information he needs. He gets actual papers in his hand, and you just hear Bill Duke be like, "He did what?" And he just storms out. He's like, "Jackson," like shaking his fist like Fred Flintstone's boss, you know? And fucking like a cartoon, it zooms to the camera cuts to where Action Jackson was standing, and the papers are just in the air floating down, and he's gone.
Well, I want to say something about Bill Duke, but I also want to mention real quick so I don't forget, the score in this movie is a cartoon score. It's fucking insane. Dude, when you're introduced to Action Jackson, the song is like, boom, 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 like, fucking unreal.
For sure. Sean, I think that might be an active choice because there is a scene in this movie where there's a character watching the Flintstones and he's just pleading for Dino to bite Fred's hand. Well, we're watching him do this in real time. He's like, do it, bite it. And he does. He's like, yeah. So I think he was like heavily influenced by those cartoons.
That's fucking incredible.
There's also a scene where Action pretends to be a preacher. He's giving like a sermon, and the score.
That was nuts.
Like backing trocals, backing vocals under what he's saying, like a chorus line.
That was actually one of the craziest things, because that was like almost like Wayne's World level scoring, where it's like. The score is actually part of the movie. It's almost like everyone could hear it. The score also, you know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
Like, it's so blended to the movie that you're like, wait, can they also hear that? Or is this just a farce? Bill Duke, the only thing I wanted to mention about him is I love him. I love seeing his face in every movie, as miserable as that fucking face is. And while he looks nothing like your dad in so many ways, he just has your dad's vibe on it. Like, he's got your dad's vibe. Like, when we get your dad pissed off at the fucking barbecues, like, he has the Bill Duke vibe going on, where he's just, like, a couple minutes away from just, like, blowing up. Just, like, fucking told you. And I love
opening
that.
Doors and be like, "You fucking kidding me right now?" And yeah. Going back in the doors,
mumbling under his breath, because every barbecue you start a fire, and he's like, "Starting a fire? What is this fucking guy doing?"
Yeah, this is the guy who I caught lighting my grass on fire to see if it would burn quickly
during a red flag warning, which I didn't even
during
know
a red
a thing,
flag warning,
which yeah. I did not know was a thing, but I guess it's like you should not use fire at all outdoors. And that was like
you can be fined for doing so during a red flag warning.
It's like optimal time to start forest fires. He goes out to test the theory.
On my grass. Can you imagine? Listen, man.
Know where it came from? Like, it would just be a trail to your house.
It would be a trail to my house. But could you imagine at any point in time in the last 38 years, if that guy walked outside and saw me lighting his grass on fire? I would not be doing this show today.
Oh, fuck. All right. So let's get into Action Jackson here. We open up with this office. I guess so. It's so funny because I love taking notes because it's an interesting thing taking notes because you're taking notes without knowing certain details. So you're like, why are we opening up in an office? Who are these people? And blah, blah. Sometimes it's explained, sometimes it's not, and you don't know. This one, we do learn later on, is a union employee, but...
Yeah, auto worker unions.
Yeah, so did not know that at the time. It's kind of just bizarre start to the movie, but you're like, cool, fuck it. Like, but we open up in this office, there's a guy and a secretary there.
Yeah, Ed O. Ross from Dick Tracy, Universal Soldier,
yep.
Red Heat, and Mary Ellen Trainer from Lethal Weapon.
Monster Squad.
Monster Squad, Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
Because she was married to the guy that did that, Zemeckis.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I just like her.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. I love that about these 80s movies is that they always give you a cold open. A cold open, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
just why did we stop doing that?
This movie, you know when you're in a school and like they made you write bullshit writing problems?
Yes.
Like, if you don't hook the reader in the first two sentences, your prompt fucking sucks. This guy understands that like when he applies it to making a movie because this, as we'll say in a few minutes, what happens in the next 3 minutes, you're just like, I cannot wait to see what happens for the rest of this movie. Stone cold. Again, I hadn't seen Stone Cold until we did it for the show, and I was living in my parents' basement at the time when we moved with Tina, and I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about a Bosworth movie, right? That opening had me standing up, like, on my feet, being like, get the fuck out of here. This guy understands that you need to do that, to hook the viewer, and then
he
does it every time.
Every single time. And that's so funny, the point about the writing prompts. Because, like, James has told me, that is still a thing. You got to give them a hook at the beginning. Yeah, suck them in.
Yeah.
He does here because we open to an office, which seems boring. And then a group of paramilitary assassins crashes through the fucking
assassins. Like, he shoots them like they're Cenobites. They're all standing together, like the four of them, just shoulder to shoulder at any part that he shows them. And they're just like backed by smoke, right? And it's like a blue haze. It's so menacing and awesome.
And we will learn their name as a group. The group has a name, the Invisible Men, which is fucking hilarious. I fucking love it. They crash through the window. They immediately punch Mary Ellen Trainer immediately punch her in the face. She goes flying. Her body goes flying from the punch. They threaten this auto worker union employee. He's backed up to the window. You know something bad's going to happen. But what happens is they shoot a grenade launcher. Well, okay, wait. First, wait.
Throw a knife through his hand.
They threw a knife at his hand. He goes to reach for the door. They throw a knife through his hand. And he's like, then he still opens the door. And then there's just another invisible man there who just fucking beats the living shit out of him behind the door. These dudes are everywhere. They're literally everywhere. Then he's back to the window, and they use a grenade launcher a lot in this movie, which was an interesting choice because there's no rocket launchers in sight, just grenade launchers, which is so fucking funny. And
it's so funny because it's like blunt force trauma first. So
right.
Pummels your chest and knocks you backwards, and then you blow up.
And then a fucking giant explosion. And again, with the fire, everything's on fire in this, including this guy after he gets hit with the grenade launcher. He is just a ball of human flame.
Who falls through a window and then free falls downwards for like at least 30 seconds, which we watch. You just watch a burning corpse falling from a window to the ground. And not only does it land on the ground, it crashes through the roof into a restaurant. Like a dinner party, a very busy restaurant, people dining.
And that's how you open the movie.
That's how you open a fucking movie.
And then immediately cut to this fucking insane 80s song and a montage of Detroit where the film takes place. What a fucking way to go. And I also love these 80s action movies because they always take place in a like blue collar cities, you know? Like, I mean, of course there's ones in LA and stuff, but it's usually like Stone Cold's out in the desert. Like, I don't know. Like, I love the blue collar aspect of it. I love being in Detroit. Like, that's so sick.
It's sick, yeah. Again, very much influenced by Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, I mean, that also. we meet two cops who will actually be reoccurring characters throughout this. And if
Thomas Wilson.
So I didn't write their names down, but these are guys that, again, and this is the other part that I love about 80s action movies, and I feel like this is lost in anything today, any type of movie today. These actors that just are in fucking everything, man. Like, just everywhere, all at once. They were just working hard, man. They must have just gone, well, like you said it before, they're just going, like, set to set. You know, like, they must have just done that the entire time because these guys are in everything.
But it's Biff from Back to the Future.
Yes, yes. That I thought he looked familiar. But I thought that was one of the... Does one of the Buseys play a Biff or no? It's always...
No, it's always him. Wilson.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a fucking Busey. Although that wouldn't even make sense, so I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, they play our two like basic patrol cops who just appear in scenes just to be like, "Whoa, Action Jackson!" No one's more enamored by Action Jackson than these two fucks.
Dude, these two, yeah.
they're so the funny later on. Lies.
Dude, they spread every lie about him, and then later on they have to subdue him and. They're so bamboozled by Action Jackson. It's fucking unbelievable.
It's fucking crazy. But that's their role in this movie. They just always show up. One of them's talking about how he brought a girl home. And his exact phrase is, "It was a regular fuckerama at my place last night." Which the other cop has one of the sickest burns, which he's... Because... He's basically talking about how he doesn't get any pussy. He's like, you don't get any pussy. And then calls his house the House of Wax. And I was like, it's a fucking good burn. Talking about waxing it for J-ing off, like,
that's good.
I love that. We got to bring that shit back, waxing.
And also worth noting, this movie, no shortage of one-liners. Like, it is a very quotable movie.
Okay, it's quotable, but there is, at the end, there are three one-liners that are back to back to back, and none of them make sense. And I think
the best kind.
Dude, they are, one is, "I'm Mr. Ed." What the fuck does that even mean? What the fuck does that even mean? The guy that says that, she says that and then jumps off a roof. What the fuck? The fuck is that? It's not a one-liner. Like, dude, it honestly felt like a free-for-all at the end. I was like... Who the fuck was writing? Like, this is bizarre. And I mentioned it earlier, but they mention that Action Jackson is a Harvard-educated lawyer, but has chosen the life of police work. And I think that is the silliest, weirdest thing to add on to a character that portrays none of those qualities in the film. Like, dude, if you were like, if you built in that he was like a sleuth or was like knew the law back and forward, you know what I mean? Like, was like, could like cite a section and be like, actually, that is a law and I'm going to get you on a technicality or something. Like, if there was something built in like
that would make sense.
Right. Why you would bring that up?
Fucking troglodyte.
Fucking moron.
Bullies his way to get his answer in.
Literally kink it out of his own way. It's just like
finds himself in the most avoidable predictions or
predicaments. Everything he is involved in is avoidable. It's actually crazy. It's actually fucking great. Later on in the movie, he gets advice from everyone that he shouldn't, and they're all wrong until the last one, who's like knows everything. He meets some guy at a hotel, and the guy's like, "You should check out this guy." He does, and the guy's fucking dead. And then the guy's like, I would have told you he was dead. Like, what? Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. Like, I love this. It's such a hard movie to not jump around in because it's just like, there's so much absurd shit. It's so fun to talk about.
You're right. Like, our normal format might not work the best here, because all I want to, like, this is a friend movie. Like, all I want to do is talk to you about scenes and just jump around and be like, dude, remember when this happened?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited. Like, all I wanted to do all day was just have this episode.
Right. I know. It's fucking great. Well, those two cops bust a thief, the cops we were just talking about. They bust this thief, and they are hyping Action Jackson up as a fucking murderer, as a fucking, like, a lawless cop that is, like, they're like, he will literally rip your fucking arms off and shove them up your ass. Dude,
First off, this thief, he sucks. He's the worst purse snatcher of all time. And he's prevalent throughout the movie, which I found funny to keep bringing this guy back. But first off, they're watching him and they're like, should we stop him from doing what he's about to do? And they're both just like, nah, it's not going to work. Look at this guy. And when they pick him up, they are just ripping on him. Like, they just picked up this kid and they're like, hey man, would your mom and dad happen to be brother and sister? And then they start going into Action Jackson, right? Yeah. Like you're saying, make him into like a lawless, like, man with no name, super villain. And Biff goes, it's possible that his dad was Bigfoot and raped his mom, and that's why Action's a product of. Dude, I would honestly, if I was Albert, the criminal in the back seat, I would tell Action that guy said that immediately. as soon as I came
first words out of my fucking mouth.
Dude, I'd be like, this is what this guy said about your mom, man.
It is such an insane statement, and it's said so earnestly that
I think Biff might believe
it. Yes, I agree. I agree with that completely. It is not said as like a joke. And like you're saying, I would have the first words out of my mouth. Which, by the way, we then meet Action Jackson, and he's like a fucking cartoon character. We mentioned earlier, he's like a dope.
Sean, I texted you about this scene because they're talking about this in the cop car when they first pick him up. And then it cuts to the police station, which they're walking in and still just telling, like, Paul Bunyan tales about Action Jackson. Be like, one time he did this, you know? And inexplicably, they sit the kid down, and there is a prostitute who was taken in. And these two cops are like, hey, how much for a hand job? And she's like, how about a foot job? And Biff's like, what? Like, now we're talking. And he's like being sincere, and they're in the office on duty. And then the kid, and she says foot job, and she's like, how about this one? And kicks Biff in the nuts. And of course, the other cop's like dying laughing. Yeah. And the kid tries to run away, runs straight into Action Jackson's desk after hearing all these stories about him, sees his name tag. And it's actually a pretty cool shot because the kid's eyes are like it's the boogeyman, right? And it finally reveals Carl Weathers. And he's supposed to look menacing, right? And he's just making the I texted you. I was like, I would honestly be relieved if I was that kid and saw this guy's face. Like, oh, fucking thank God. He looks like this. Like, the friendliest guy I've ever seen. But they're trying to make it like he's menacing, the way that they're zooming in on his face. And the kid stands up and fucking faints.
And Carl Weathers is also actually this Action Jackson that they've been hyping up has been relegated to paperwork. So he's just like filing papers, and he's just like, that's it's his fucking job now.
Yeah, he lost his lieutenant status.
Yeah, it's very odd. And it's scored, as I mentioned, like a children's movie. It is this like cartoon, including when he walks into his sergeant's office to be reprimanded. And it's like, doom, 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 doom. And you're like, what is this? And the guy's like, Action, you fucking piece of shit breaking kids here. And he kind of gives us the setup to the kid that he roughed up and a little bit of background on Craig T. Nelson, who.
Which is wild because it happened like a year ago, right?
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
He established that it ruined his marriage and his job and the police station's credibility.
Why you bring fucking really hammers that guy home. Imagine having to listen to that every day. I'd stop being a cop immediately. And by the way, he could just go practice law, but that's fine.
A Harvard degree, you get a job anywhere doing what he wants.
But he loves fucking being a cop. Craig T. Nelson, we go to him. He's earning the Businessman of the Year award. Sharon Stone is his wife, And Action Jackson, as we mentioned, has been demoted for doing this. He shows up to this event to... Why is Action going after him, though? Like, why is Action there? Why is he dealing with this horse shit?
I think he just feels that he's sketchy and
not good.
Because he gets there, and some guy is like, hey, what do you think of our man of the year? And Jack's just like, I think he's a conceited, two-faced son of a bitch.
He says that to Sharon Stone, who's like, then they're like, his wife. And Action's like, whoo? Sharon's like, well, maybe you guys can be friends. Of course you can.
Which is funny because then Craig comes over and he's like, you know, Craig is the consummate villain. He's
great.
He's cordial to Action. And Action's immediately like, hey, how's your piece of shit son whose armor ripped clean off his body?
And Craig's doing the Businessman of the Year awards thing, so he's keeping it clean. And he's just like, I'll see you later. We then go to a boat with more, I love the way they paint these fucking union guys. It's so fucking funny. Go to a yacht for a union member who just has the highest end security because he knows that, you know, the last union guy got whacked. And he's on this boat. And why does Delaplane hate the union so much? It's just driving up the cost of the cars he's selling.
I don't really know if that is explained. Maybe a rewatch is needed, but he fucking hates.
He fucking hates the union so much. And the union member says, "I got the place tighter than the Pope's poop chute." Fucking A+ fucking writing right there.
We meet those two guys on the boat, and we have to listen to them and be like, "Hey, what do you call a man with no legs on the wall? What do you call a man with no legs in the water?" You know, those fucking jokes that people told when they were eight. Those guys are telling like six of them in a row. And for then some guy up top screams, "Will you two shut the fuck up?" That guy never comes back in. I think that might have just been somebody hired
a fucking cast member. Yeah. The assassins then show up. They go through this whole process of killing all the guards and one by one killing them until they get to the boss, who they kill in the fucking best way. They take a briefcase with attached to a handcuffs. They handcuff it to the union boss and then kick him to the ground. The union boss is then like, what's in this briefcase? Opens it up. It's a fucking bomb. And the Invisible Man have already escaped when the boat explodes. Now, this is one of those examples I was talking about before where, the biggest explosion. Dude, the boat is fucking disintegrated. It's gone. Fucking nothing left. This is one of those examples where just throw the bomb on the boat and fucking let everything... they were fighting people. Like, just fucking blow up the fucking boat. Like...
Correct.
So fucking bizarre.
Killing the other guys with crossbows. They had ample time to get there and wait. They could have just, like you said, put firearms all over the boat.
So fucking weird. Anyway, we go back to Carl Weathers, who's left the event now. He goes home to his apartment complex, gives the car to...
Clovis.
Clovis, the valet.
Made by Argyle in Die Hard. Nice little crossover
there. Oh, there you go. And Carl Weathers is like, you better take care of this car. And the kid's like, oh, okay, old man, like, because the parts aren't around. I don't even think it's that old of a car, but that's okay. Clovis.
He loves it. That's a bit throughout this movie, how much he loves his car. His car's not that great.
Dude, it's like not, like, right. It's nothing like crazy. Kid takes the car and speeds away. And this is when Carl, like, almost breaks the fourth wall and is like, dude, he's so close to looking at the camera and talking. He's just like, boy, that car, I really love that car. I hope he's not speeding. I tell that kid not to speed in my car, but he speeds anyway. He's just fucking ranting to himself.
That's such a good point. All he is not doing, which, like, kudos to him. That's so funny. He's just not making eye contact with the camera.
He's so 100%
close. Break that fourth wall. That goes on for like a minute.
Dude, it's so long. And I guarantee you there's a take where there's probably a dozen takes where he keeps looking at the camera like, midway, like, they're like, oh, we almost got this. He's almost through it. And then he, like, looks at the camera and fucking smiles. And they're like, oh, fuck, you got to do it again, man. You can't look at the fucking camera.
It's so funny. Dude,
he's just like, the car's my prized possession. You can't speed in that. Tell the kid. Tell the fucking kid that was just there.
He could have turned around and said it. Dude, he started that conversation while the kid was walking out the door. He just keeps walking towards us, the viewer.
Carl goes...
When he gets into his room is where I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe action is unhinged. Because he is relaxing. Like, winding down from a day. He's already in his house. Like, he's taking his coat off. And he's having a drink, watching cartoons. He's wearing a full fucking suit, like a full work suit with his bow tie still around. Could you imagine coming home from work and keeping that on longer than the time it takes you to walk into your door? Like, my shit is off immediately.
Dude, it's like, it reminded me of like the Step Brothers scene where they're wearing a tuxedo, where they're wearing tuxedos for the job interview. It just seems so unnecessary.
And Naked Gun what's her name? Lisa Marie. What the fuck is her name? Whatever. It doesn't matter. She comes over to Leslie Nielsen's house and he's like, let me get into something more comfortable. And he comes out in a full three-piece suit.
That's such a funny fucking bit. Yeah, Carl's just chilling with his fucking pet bird, which I don't think he should legally have. I don't think he's capable of handling a bird, but he has one. Also, what a weird storyline to give him about his like family leaving him. Doesn't that seem like a little bit of a bummer, like, for this character? Like, all he's got is his fucking car. He's actually leading like a pretty fucking sad life.
He is, for sure.
Like, why not make him a fucking bachelor? Anyway. Carl gets a call.
I guess it gives him that redemption arc angle.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean,
not that nobody watching Action Jackson fucking cares about that.
God, why? How dare he do this without his wife leaving him? Carl gets a call from his friend who's living in squalor. I thought he was a cop, but I don't know if that's the case. Guy's also threatening to kill himself. He's very upset. But he has a lot of dirt on Craig T. Nelson.
Yes.
And he gives a lot of this dirt to Action, but it's not enough. He doesn't have quite all the details given up. Action then
is sweating more than anybody has ever sweat. He made me uncomfortable. He looked so unwell and so hot.
I was trying to figure out what his deal was. Was he supposed to be hooked on heroin, as we'll learn is kind of Craig's move on the side, as well as
that's
dealing cars? He's just shooting people up for free. This guy's the worst businessman, I think, in the world. He wants to be a kingmaker too, he says. Action leaves to go do his thing, and this guy Action leaves, and as soon as Action leaves, the doorbell rings, he opens it, there's a UPS guy there. If this guy thinks he's getting a UPS package, remember, this is 88. Like, dude, UPS packages were a rare sighting. You know, like, that was This guy's like, oh, for me? And the guy's like, yeah, sign here. Goes through the whole signature bit before being like, it's COD, and fucking shooting him in the chest through the clipboard. I love this assassin, too. He's like the main assassin. And later, I believe, we'll be wearing Carl Weathers' clothes from previous Action Jackson scenes. Yeah. I'm like 90% sure he dies in Action's first outfit. Just fucking insane. It's like the shirt is like kind of recognizable and you're like, huh, like that, pretty sure that's the same fucking polo Action was just wearing, but that's fine. We then meet Vanity, who's playing our lounge singer, Sydney Ash.
Yes.
At Club Elite, which is Craig T. Nelson also is a proprietor of. All the best businesses, a fucking lounge giving heroin away for free and dealing cars.
Dude, he gives the best line. Like, I love this line so much here because she does this performance for him and, you know, is like seducing him. She's like, I was expecting a standing ovation. And he just calmly leans back and looks at her and goes, you're getting one. Best boner reference I've ever heard in a movie, period.
He is horned up for her, man. He loves this, sitting in his little hotel cuck chair watching her perform. By the way, is the meme referencing that chair in hotels as the hotel cuck chair like one of the best things that's like ever happened on the internet?
It's great. It's
fucking true, right? I'll never look at that chair the same way fucking ever.
I'll never sit in it.
No, that's true too. It's true. Although maybe it's the safest spot if it's the cuck chair. I don't know.
Like, cuck chair?
I don't know. It depends if the cuck's, you know, doing his thing or not. Or just watching.
Might be.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just never going to go to a hotel. That just skeeved me out. I'm never going again. Sorry, I'm not going to Nashville anymore.
please.
Craig T has also been promising Sydney the career of a fucking lifetime. Recording deal and all these promises of fame. And Craig's basically like, yeah, but you got to get naked and shoot up heroin first. They don't even have sex. She just gets naked and he's like, okie dokie, and shoots her up with heroin. Seems like a fucking weird deal. Not a deal I'd like to be involved in. Anyway, yeah. Oh, and the heroin also comes out of a jewelry box where he's like, every woman's best friend, and you think it's going to be a necklace, and it's fucking heroin. Also, how many hours does Craig T. Nelson have in a day? Because we cut to this.
Does it all.
We cut from here to doing karate in his fucking house. And training in martial arts in his fucking house.
He's great. He's the greatest fucking boxer of all time.
And that's when we get to see Sharon naked also, which always a fucking pleasure with her. She's,
yeah.
What a babe, man. What a babe.
Even more of a pleasure. We get to see Al Luong's face, you know, the guy from Die Hard. That guy has been in hundreds of movies. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Never shown a single emotion.
Never.
Any of them. He is the most stone-faced. He just has a huge mustache, and he's fucking awesome. I love seeing his face pop up.
There's just some stuff with that stuff where it's like, I just love when Hollywood does something right, and like, it's almost like as if every director's just like, they get it. And they're like, yeah, I'm not going to fuck with this. I'm just like, let's just keep this going. You know what I mean? But it had to have started so early, like from fucking movie 2, 3. Like those guys must have been like, no, 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 this is it. Like you don't fucking make an emotion. I fucking love that. Well, Sharon, as much as she loves Craig, you can see some hesitation here with some of the shit he's doing, some of the shit he's getting himself into. So she links up with Action. They meet up at a restaurant. And Sharon starts spilling the beans a little bit. And Action shows her some incriminating photos of Craig also. And she's defending him, but you can sense some hesitation there. They are then targeted as they go outside by a man driving a cab, which is also the UPS guy.
Dude, this scene, taxi cab scene is so fucking awesome, and it's somehow not the best scene involving a car in this movie, which is incredible. It speaks so much volume to this movie because this should be the greatest scene in the movie, correct?
It's also, yes, that, and also let's double down on this. It's also an insanely stupid scene, and it's also not the dumbest scene involving a car in this movie, which is nuts. So, like, that is crazy that both of those things are applicable to this scene. It's fucking nuts.
I fucking love it.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah, so this cab driver tries to hit Sharon Stone and Action. Fails at both. Action chases it down on foot, I believe. He chases the car down on foot, where he then comes face to face with the assassin. And the assassin's in the car. Action Jackson is standing right there. And Action's like, fucking kill me, which is insane.
No, Sean, before that, he jumps on the car. And the car is going 100 miles an hour.
Making
sharp turn. Dude, it is a residential area, turning left and right on every side street. And Action's just hanging on. And the whole time, like, you see how fast this car is going. I'm not exaggerating. It's literally going 100. And Action's hanging on, just being like, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. And just not falling off. And then before he gets to the scene that you just mentioned, or the part that you just mentioned, the guy driving also has a handgun. And he's just shooting through the window, missing Action the entire time. He finally stops, which doesn't throw Action from the car. He just stands there. And then this is probably Carl Weathers' best acting of all time, because he is, it's like close on his face. He's like sweating and super emotional, being like, be a man. Don't use a gun. Come and fight me. Which, of course, the guy does not do.
The guy has a gun and a car.
Also, in that scene where he's driving 100, for some reason, other cars are blowing up.
Yes.
Like, not the car he's driving. Correct. Other cars on the road are just like getting out of the way and then explode, like huge fucking explosions. It's the most flammable town in the USA.
He's like tail whipping cars and then they just burst into fucking flames.
Explode.
It's so fucking bizarre. It's so fucking weird. And Action is challenging him, and the guy's like, okay, I'm gonna fucking run you over.
Now, which Action's not saying. He's saying, come fight me. It's like, Action, what do you expect to happen?
And the guy fucking floors it to run over Carl Weathers, who, by the way, is fucking jacked. I mean, he's a big fucking dude.
Jacked.
Very athletic. He is not as athletic as the scene would have you believe, because he does a forward front flip over the cab.
Speeding car. Over a speeding car.
Which causes the driver to like be like, whoa? and launch himself off of, again, other exploded cars in the town. Flies the car off of those like a ramp.
Off of a car. Dude, he hits another car and it somehow gets him so airborne that he crashes through the roof of a building.
And the guy survives and actually escapes before Action could get over there to find him.
He's fine. That guy, he's fucking fine. That guy
is fine.
That guy's a problem for the rest of the movie.
Really, actually is. And Action is just like, oh, nuts. Like, Action really doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's like bummed, but he's like, meh. C'est la vie. So Sharon takes that information that she got from Action, brings it to Craig, who's like, oh, baby, and then shoots her.
Kills Sharon.
Unexpected, man. That was a weird rest in peace right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene's great, too, because, like, she's caressing him, and he has the gun in the back, so you think she's going to grab the gun and turn it on him.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good swerve. It's a cool scene. And actually, like, man, that scene's actually, to give this movie credit here, this scene's actually cool because, like Joe said, she's hugging him, they're embracing, you see the gun in his back pocket, they talk, they embrace again, the gun's gone. And again, you're just, like, not expecting Sharon to get it here, so you're like, what does that mean? Like, what does that have to, why is the gun gone? Like, and for a second, I actually thought Sharon might have it. Like, I was like, I don't know what happens here.
For sure.
And it's really well done. And then he caps her right there. He shoots her in the chest and also takes her ring, which is.
Yeah.
Guy's a fucking piece of shit.
He's a jerk.
He's honestly a real fucking jerk. You guys are fucking real fucking turd. Anyway, Action goes to find Sydney, who is just always not where she needs to be. She's always like, she's like a fucking lost puppy. Like, you just, every scene, like, Action is like, you stay here, and then turns around and is like, I gotta go find Sydney, and she's somewhere else in a room with some other human that's like, she's not supposed to be there. So he goes to go find Sydney. I think this time it's actually at Sydney's place or at the lounge.
Yeah.
And he meets a bodyguard. This exchange is fucking
Sean
A plus.
I was telling one of our listeners, Moderate Chaos, shout out to him. I was telling him my favorite characters in action movies like this are the like disposable.
Yes.
You know, the disposable ones that don't really serve much to the plot, but they're just so memorable. This guy is the most soft-spoken, hilarious guy of all time. And this scene is so fucking awesome because of him. The guy is huge, first of all. First of all, I have a problem with this guy claiming to be 270 pounds. Because there's no fucking way that guy isn't at least 350. There's no way.
No. No. Absolutely fucking not. It's fucking alarming.
He's a behemoth of a man. And like you just said, Action Jackson's he's in great shape. He is jacked. He slugs this guy in the gut, and the guy doesn't even flinch. And actually just like, hey, well, sorry about that. And then he punches him square in the face, and the guy just eats the punch and smiles. And then actually, dude, I love this interaction. Action's like, you probably slap my body through this wall if I do this again, huh? And the guy just calmly and again, soft-spokenly, he's like, yeah, probably just thinking about it, but it goes against my Muslim beliefs. And Action just fucking spears him through the door into Vanity's room.
Action does that, like, hesitation, like, okay, fair enough, pretending like he's gonna leave, and then cut to Vanity's room, and he spears him through the fucking door. You couldn't knock him out. There's no way you're gonna fucking spear that guy through anything.
That guy's not moving. You hit him in the face full punch. Spears went through a
door. And Carl's acting even in that scene is pretty fucking great too. Like that dialogue, that exchange they have, and like Carl's face, it's actually a great comedy moment in an action movie where he's just like, all right, that punch didn't work type of fucking.
Also, the door is on the guy's left. The angle Action would have had to get to spear him through that door is impossible in the hall. The guy took up the entire hallway.
It was so fucking funny. I love that. Well, he does get through, right? And then Action somehow convinces her to leave with him. I think by thinking that he's a John, I think she thinks she's gonna fuck Action for money.
Yeah, she tries to.
Yeah.
Because she even says something. She's like, either you're a cop or you're not into women.
Yeah. And Action and Sydney are then targeted by fucking more explosions. Everything's fucking exploding around them. No, they're not all that concerned with it though. And then Sydney becomes the most annoying fucking junkie to be around of all time. It's just she's constantly looking for a fix, and Action is just like, deal with it. It's like, okay, like this is a fucking bizarre relationship, but it will become the romantic relationship.
Yes.
By the end of this movie. So Action is just running around getting information from whoever's willing to talk to him. Literally just any asshole he talks to, he'll take information from. And the first information he gets is that Papa Doc, no, stupidest fucking name, Papa Doc has all the information he needs. He's just got to go see Papa Doc at this bar. So he goes to this fucking bar, gets his ass kicked to the point where they're about to cut off his dick. That is a fact. They were like getting ready to cut his dick off. And then Sydney shows up, who claims that Action is her slow brother and is also is religious preacher. And we cut to Action Jack starts preaching the gospel. Like I don't even know what religion that is, where it's like very like theatrical, like praise him. And then like, as we mentioned before, this score, this like amen fucking score starts playing, and it seems like everyone could also like hear
they can
score.
Hear it. Yeah, the organ is hitting while he's talking, and there's a chorus line.
Yes, like it is a comedy bit. And everyone's like, ooh. And like, even the main bad guy's like, this guy's fucking weird. And you're like, yeah, he is. Fucking kill him. And then Action just beats the shit out of him.
Yes.
This does nothing. Action could have done this in the same predicament 2 seconds ago, but
correct.
Had to do all of this to totally prove it. It beats the shit out of all of them.
I also love that right before this, they were in the hotel where they slept together. Like they didn't have sex. They literally just slept in the room together, and she was pissed about it. And for some reason, they decided to give Albert another shot at the screen. The guy, the purse thief that they arrested.
Oh yeah.
He walks out of the room with his tray, and he sees action. And he's just like, it's you. Thanks for coming back,
Albert. And he'll come back at the end too, right? Isn't he at the fucking party? A fucking high rollers party in Detroit. Fucking insane. So they learn Papa Doc's dead. So they go back to this hotel that they're like laying low at, because again, they're just targeted by all these explosions. They go back to this hotel where there's this hotel manager, like front guy. Who we met earlier, and who, like, honestly zoned out.
That's the Flintstone guy. Loved the Flintstones.
Loved the Flintstones, and is also, like, claimed to be, like, an ex-boxer or something. Like,
he's a boxer, yeah.
Yeah. And Action Jackson's like, this is where he got his information from, was this guy. And he comes back, he's like, Papa Doc is dead. And the guy's like, I could have told you that. Watched him leave to go find Papa Doc. The fuck? So then Action is like, okay. That store sucked. So now I'm going to go to this barber shop, talk to this woman. We don't know who this person is. And this woman literally knows everything about Delaplane. She's like, yeah, he murdered his fucking wife too. You believe that? That just happened. She knows all about it. She knows everything he's done, where his hand is, who he's killed. It's fucking crazy. I assume we're supposed to believe she is his barber, but... Like, it's very bizarre. And, like, why would you breach that confidentiality as a barber? Like, that is, like, you wouldn't...
Yeah, it is his barber, yeah.
You wouldn't just tell some fucking guy that showed up. And by the way, the police are after Action Jackson at this point.
The police are, yeah, because he is gone rogue.
Yeah, he's been...
The entire town is on fire.
So then Action, again, has lost Sydney again. But this time she's being held hostage, but not really. She's kind of just sitting there playing with a knife. And like when Action shows up to get her, the guy's like talking shit. And she's like, I wouldn't say that to Action Jackson. What is happening in this fucking room right now? She says, you can't talk shit to Action Jackson. And Action Jackson throws him out of a window. Beats the fucking piss out of him and throws him out of a window. So they come up with this plan with all the information from the barber where they're going to lure one of Craig T. Nelson's lackeys to a building. Sydney does this and Action interrogates him, only to find out that the big plan is to use Action Jackson as a pawn. He will be the one that will kill... What was this guy's fucking name? They kept saying his name. I honestly don't know who he was. His name was like Ferenti or something, or Fanny, or it was. I mean, listen, I really don't care if we don't know this. I
don't know.
It was the head of the.
He was a high ranking union official.
Of course, it was a union guy. It's all this fucking Craig T. Nelson gives a fuck about. It's just killing guys in the union. So it was like the president of the union or something, and they're going to use Action Jackson to kill him. But this all goes sideways because Action Jackson's leaving. The Invisible Men show up. It was all planned all along. They get Sydney and they get Action Jackson. And talk about a real jump. Like I know I'm jumping around right now to get to the end of this movie, but like this literally cuts from this to Action Jackson chained up and Craig T.
chained up,
just standing there, being like, "Well, time to die, Action." There's no in between this.
He is very Bond villain-esque. Like he even does the gold finger, being like, "I expect you to die, Mr. Bond."
Yeah,
he pretty much says that verbatim.
Dude, he is Bond villain to a T. I wrote that. Craig starts going Bond villain mode 100%. Got him chained up. I think the way they're gonna kill him is even like a slow like fucking flamethrower thing that they're gonna cut him up with. And this is, I think this is when also when he like quotes Jimmy Carter, which is like, again, one of the weirdest things. Yeah. And that's when Action's like, oh, you great, you want to be fucking president? And he's like, no, I'm a king maker. They're more powerful than the king. Craig, you are selling used cars and giving away heroin for free. I don't know what your business plan is, but I don't think you are going to be the kingmaker that you think you are.
And Jackson delivers a great line here where he's like, Delaplane, one of these days you're going to really piss me off. like it hasn't already.
Which, fun fact, happens at the end. He is like, oh, now you did it. After Craig T. Nelson beats the shit out of him. But we'll get there. But more importantly, Action has no way out of this scenario. What is going to happen to our fucking hero? He's fucking dead to rights. You know what fucking happens is that fucking bodyguard shows up. He's up on like a fucking roof of something in the building. He yells, hello, I'm Mr. Ed. And then jumps from like 30 feet in the air. Again, as Joe mentioned, this man is at least like 300 pounds. He jumps off of a 30-foot something onto the bad guys yelling, hello, I'm Mr. Ed. I don't know if that's a reference.
His name is Big Ed. Okay, but like, so, why is he making a horse reference?
Why is he fucking even announcing that right now? Why is he saying hello before it? Not even so like, polite. Don't fuck with Mr. Ed. Like,
we know he's the most polite guy ever based on the face-punching scene. So.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. And he just fucks everyone up. Which gives Action the time to free himself from the chains, escape the chains.
Which, by the way, he frees himself because like he uses like a welding torch. The flame was that would take a long time.
Yeah, it would not.
It heats it up for like a second and it just rips through.
It's not a laser beam. That is correct. And also this. So, hello, I'm Mr. Ed is the first of three catchphrases or one-liners. You get hit with just boom, boom, boom. Next one is, because he gets free, grabs that flame thing that we just talked about, sees a bad guy, and says, now he's got a flamethrower, okay? So you think of a million puns here. There's fucking a million fire heat puns. And he says, chill out. Sprays him with fire. Just a little sarcasm, I guess, on top of the one-liner. Chill so out. Good. It's a lot of freeze guys. Like I was like, oh, that's so fucking weird. That's two. Then they get rid of pretty much everyone. There's one more guy left. He looks at the guy and says, barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs? What could he do? He'd break his ribs, fucking smash his ribs up with a bat. He just fucking blows them up. Fucking grenade launcher just fucking explodes them into a million pieces. Nothing to do. By the way, the first guy caught on fire when he got hit with the grenade launcher, which I would have given you the benefit of the doubt using barbecue there, fire, barbecue, sure, whatever.
Sure.
This guy explodes into pieces. There's actually like no flames. It's just a fucking guy's gone. Fucking evaporates. It's fucking unreal. Somehow, during this scene, Craig T. Nelson has escaped and is throwing a giant party at his house. And our assassin's there. Our buddy, the assassin, the UPS assassin. And this is when I believe he's wearing Action Jackson's wardrobe. The hotel owner is also at the party. Actually, pretty much everyone Action has had an encounter with is also at this fucking party.
Yes.
The valet is the valet from his apartment complex.
Yes.
I fucking love it. This movie fucking rules.
We don't have time to pay for extras. Bring everyone that we've cast.
Listen, and he did it smarter because, you know, they just put Ted Raimi in like 18 costumes in Army of Darkness. Don't just let him be the same character. Fuck it. Just let him play the same fucking guy. Um, Action gets to the party and immediately starts fucking shit up. Just fights break out. The hotel manager busts out his old boxing moves, which is fucking great. One of the party guests, which, by the way, this would be such alarming chaos. You would just be terrified. One of the guests is like, "Oh, you're old the Dukes," or whatever the fuck his like boxing name was. And he was like, "Yep, that's me." Fucking great scene. And then Craig escapes into the house with Sydney. And why don't you tell me about this car scene? Because Action Jackson gets in a vehicle.
Action Jackson gets into a vehicle and he drives it into a house, into somebody's actual house, through the doors, fast enough to hit a henchman and like fucking cut him in half.
Cut him in half.
Wall. But he doesn't crash into the wall. Like, he stops, like precision stopping just enough to cut him in half and pin him against it. Yeah. Then he proceeds to drive the car up house stairs that you walk up. He drives the car up it seamlessly and then navigates through the hallway, which is a typical hallway, which has, you know, turns and corners. He's driving a fucking car. It's a full-size car. He's driving up the stairs through the hallway. And then the best part of it all, like, while you're watching that, you're like, I can't believe he's driving a car upstairs in a hallway in a house. Doesn't get out. And the cherry on top for me is Craig T. Nelson's in the room. And he's like, "What's all that noise?" And he opens the door. And he's looking down the hallway, and you see the car make a turn around the corner and come towards him. And he's just like, "Whoa." It's so ridiculous.
Dude, can you imagine filming that? Can you imagine fucking?
Can you imagine walking out of your bedroom and seeing not like it would be one thing. It would still be stupid, but it would be one thing if it was just like, if it was just a straight shot, like the car is coming straight at you, but he watches his car turn around the corner and then come at him. That's so fucking funny. That's like a Hall of Fame scene, man.
That's the most insane shit I've ever heard in my life, or saw in my life. Oh my God, I'm fucking crying. Oh my God. An Action crashes the car through the door. and it's fucking.
Craig doesn't even run, dude. I would jump out my window, right? That's the only option. You're like, "Oh my God, there's a car in my house. Like, I have to evacuate." It's fucking insane. Craig stays in the bedroom and just waits for the car to breach the door.
He's just waiting. He's like laying in bed with Sydney, waiting for him to show up.
Fucking relaxing.
He genuinely is relaxing. Fucking insane. Dude, as you mentioned, how terrifying would that be to see that car coming? And you're not going to be thinking anything other than like, "This guy's going to run me over. Like, this guy's going to fucking just barrel over me.
He's I need to get out.
A car in my house. Like, I'm toast. I'm fucking toast."
Oh my God. Navigating it through a hallway. That's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. And Craig T. Nelson gets out. They both have weapons. And for whatever reason, Craig is like, "Let's go hand to hand combat." Which Action agrees to. For again, I don't know why. Just fucking shoot this fucking guy.
Again, Lethal Weapon, they're using the same actors, and inexplicably, at the end of Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson's like, "Hey, everyone, stand down to this terrorist we've been tracking, and let me just hand-to-hand fight him
in the rain, fight him in the sprinkler."
Which, Busey's, like, winning the entire time, which you would think somebody's like, "Hey, maybe we should just stop this madman."
Intervene. same thing. And Craig beats the shit out of him. Craig just fucking beats the fuck out of him, but then ultimately like catches Action in the face, and then Action's like, "Now you pissed me off," and then funk music starts playing, and then Action just turns the tides. Action just starts beating him up, and it ends with both men fucking after being like, we fight with honor, both men reaching for their fucking firearm and shooting each other. And they both land the shot, which is even funnier. But Craig's is fatal, shoots his fucking shoulder clean off, fucking bloods everything.
As we said before, you would expect that came from a shotgun.
Yeah.
But it is.
It's a little pistol. Yeah. And Action also got shot in the shoulder, but it's fucking totally fine. It's like, oh, this I got fucking shot. Look at this fucking thing.
Yeah, I think Vanity's exact line was like, how did his miss? He's like, it did.
Because I thought it missed. He's like, it did, you fucking idiot. You fucking,
totally fine.
Totally fine. Then the lieutenant shows up, or the chief shows up, sorry. The chief of police shows up and is like, Action, I want a report on my desk tomorrow morning. And
Action screams, tomorrow!
Which, by the way, is a fair fucking response. He's fucking shot. And then the chief is like, yeah, lieutenant. And you're like, oh shit, hooray. And then Action goes, lieutenant? And then those two dopey cops show up and they're like, lieutenant? But like, excited for Action also. And fucking. Our fucking boy.
For trying to bring him down the last hour.
Dude. Our boy Bill Duke is like, is there a fucking echo in here? And like, genuinely seems honestly perturbed by the entire fucking exchange, which I would be also. Just everyone's screaming, lieutenant? Imagine like you deliver somebody news and everyone's just like, what? Yeah. I did that on purpose. Like, it was good news. And then. This is like one of my favorite endings. Sydney's there with her man, and Sydney, a heroin addict, announces she's now clean. She just has decided she's clean, and she's quit cold turkey. And then Action is like, "I'm gonna eat you on Thanksgiving," and she's like, "You can do it now." And then they kiss, and that's the end of the movie. The weirdest fucking exchange I ever saw in my life. She's like, guess who's off heroin? And then Action's like, really? For me? She's like, cold turkey. Imagine if quitting heroin was that easy. Just a choice. Just fucking quick, easy decision. All you have to do is say no. And that's the end. That is the end.
The credits roll. That's it.
Man.
Fucking loved it. I love it. I love this director. I can't wait to do the next one next week. I think people are going to, if you listen to this episode, I think you're going to like it. Cause I have so much fun talking about these movies.
Oh, I was excited to do it. As soon as I watched it, I was like, this is why we do Action Month.
Exactly.
And I don't know if we mentioned on Patreon, I think all summer we're going to scatter some action movies in there.
Yeah.
Because
label it up a bit.
So much fucking fun. And like really that summer vibe, that summer blockbuster vibe that you just, I got the hiccups. That's perfect way to end a podcast. Dude, have you ever gotten the hiccups while we do the podcast?
Not while we do the podcast. I got the hiccups for the first time in like 20 years when we were at Wilhelm Scream Show. And it was like the most infuriating thing that's ever happened to me.
Dude, hiccups are honestly debilitating. As you get older, they're like, I get it at night sometimes. And I'm like,
dude,
I think I'm going to die.
Fucking kick it there. I was trying to hold my breath and I was like, I'm going to pass out and I look like an idiot. And I don't even know if that's a thing. I haven't had it since like second grade.
Oh, man. But yeah, we were talking about this on the Patreon, sprinkling in some action movies all summer. You get that big budget feel, that the summer blockbuster vibe you don't always get from the horror flicks, the summer horror flicks. And I'm sure we've got some good summer horror flicks we can think of too for the summer. Man, what will we do for the summer? We should put together a list of everything, but that's what professionals do, but not us.
Not us.
Wing it. So anyway, next week we will definitely be doing what was it called again? It was called I Come in Peace, also known as Dark Angel, starring Dolph Lundgren, same director. We also will be having a poll on our Patreon for picking some of the other action movies we'll be doing this summer. Lots of good choices in there. And also a poll for which porn parody we're going to watch on Patreon, separate from the live show. So if you want to do the live show, we will now be separating the two. So if you don't want to be exposed to that, you know, you
could subjected to
us eating Alfredo and watching pornography.
It's the gimmick.
You know, I actually love sauce. It. It'll be like so much more low key. We could just eat in peace and watch the porno, and it'll be nice. It'll be nice. It'll be a nice little experience. Have a little dinner. Have some breadsticks.
You'd be miserable, dude.
So gross. So gross. Just overeat and watch porn. Because you're gonna get like 15 minutes in, you're done with your food, and you're like,
being full. What am I doing?
You're full. A bunch of other adults, like, oh god, like this sucks. What am I doing? What am I doing with my life? So that's on tap for Patreon. So there you go. Really, that's a seller right there. This is a selling point. By the time this comes out, the Army of the Evil Dead Rise codes will be out. Thank you to Evil Dead Rise for doing that with us. That was a lot of fun. Yes. Really appreciate that. And you can go over to patreon.com/IHateHorror. That's how you can support us. I am finishing up the store. I know I've said that in the past, but for real. And with some new designs, and I'm working on the designs that we keep bringing up on the show. Some ideas are there. So we'll be dropping some of those soon.
Any hats? I've had a couple messages about hats.
Yes, there are hats on that. There are hats on that. I don't know, like, I don't think that... The options for hats are like kind of weird. So like most of them are like dad embroidered hats. I'm thinking about doing another run of the trucker hats because I just love those. Like I wear those hats all the time. They fit fucking great. So maybe do another run of those. That would be kind of cool. Actually, I just got a really good idea for one. So maybe I'll do those just individually, like as a limited release, maybe just for Patreon, even for people on Patreon to buy. So we'll see. We'll see. Got some ideas cooking. And that's at patreon.com/IHateHorror, Instagram @IHateHorror, facebook.com/IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram boognish1985.
And that is a wrap. Thank you all so much. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. My dice. Movies all fucking day. I wanna play. I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch. Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.